This is Tony Roberts, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of truth since 1960.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
You want to taste freedom, peace in this life, I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
The cave paradise. Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, tell me where we gonna plant our seed.
We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for January 14th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20, and we'll be taking your calls. We saw an article since the last show that was particularly timely. We're not claiming credit for this, but John Deere and the Farm Bureau have signed a memorandum of understanding that says it will give farmers rights to repair their equipment or to use independent repair shops rather than dealers only. We spoke to Right to Repair activist Louis Rossman about the John Deere letter while he was driving to work.
My name is Louis Rossman. I'm the executive director of Repair Preservation Group and the owner of Rossman Repair Group.
Hi, Louis. Welcome to the show. We know you've been working on Right to Repair for a long time, and we just heard about the Farm Bureau and the John Deere memo of understanding. What do you think about that?
I mean, the memo of understanding has a lot of carve-outs, you know, for emissions, intellectual property, safety, which are the reasons that they've been giving to farmers for the past 10 years, why they can't fix their own stuff. So this memo really allows a lot of carve-outs for them to continue to deny farmers access to everything they need to be able to actually fix their own tractors or have an independent technician do it for them. But more importantly, if you just look at the behavior that they've had in other states like California, where I believe they've had memorandums of understanding before, they haven't even made available what they claim they would make available in prior memorandums of understanding. So I don't understand why anybody expects they would do that now. I think this is a PR stunt to try and get legislators to believe that there's no reason to take action on Right to Repair because they've already solved the problem. And based on their completely uncritical coverage, whether from the BBC or anybody else. Oh, and when you look at the non-critical coverage this has received across the press, whether from tech outlets, I forget if it was Engadget that covered it that way or BBC, you know, they're all covering this as if farmers got what they wanted. And what I find really disgusting about it is that most of these outlets that are covering this positively, they're not actually asking farmers for their opinion on this. I don't see them asking USPIRG. I don't see them asking repair.org or any of the people that have actually advocated in favor of right to repair agricultural bills across the country. If they think this is a win, they're just immediately parroting the John Deere line. This is a good thing and this is a win, which is kind of sad.
I noted that they have a clause in there that if a state or federal legislation comes along, they can withdraw. So,
yeah. So what they're doing is they're using this as a way to say, listen, we will play ball. We'll be nice. We'll do what you ask. But if you try, but if you push for right to repair legislation, then we'll stop. So this is a way to try to get state legislatures to stop pushing for right to repair by getting the legislators to believe that this is already done. So if they get a lot of press saying, look, right to repair is already passed. You guys are all good. You have this memo of understanding. They'll withdraw the legislation. Once they withdraw the legislation, things will go back to the way they've been forever. Because again, if you look at prior John Deere memorandums of understanding, we still don't have access to the things that they actually promised in the last memorandum of understanding. Nathan Proctor and Kevin O'Reilly at USPIRG released an amazing report last year called Deer in the Headlights, which goes over all the things that John Deere said they'd make available and the reality, which is that they're not available, by having farmers and members of USPIRG call John Deere dealerships and contact John Deere themselves to ask for access to all these things. And a lot of these dealers are like, yeah, we don't know how to give you this. What are you talking about? We don't have to give you any of this. They're not even made aware of any of it. This is a PR stunt, pure and simple. And at this point in time, John Deere is winning the PR game because the news outlets have uncritically copied and pasted that this is a successful, farmers won, they can fix their stuff, without actually asking farmers if that's the case. And that sucks.
Great. Thank you so much.
I'm glad we have an environmental radio show to give voice to that.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's going to be up to outlets like yours to cover things like this critically, or even if you don't know, because again, I didn't know what this memo meant when I first read it. Just ask a farmer. I did an interview on my channel today. I had a 10-minute conversation with a farmer that's been working for this and said, what do you think? That would have been better than most of the coverage. Because I mean, like, the people writing these articles, they're not farmers. And as I said in my video, I'm not a farmer either. I can't even farm in Dota. I don't know. I can't farm in video games, much less in real life. But it doesn't take that much work to reach out to one and ask, do you think this is a good thing or not? And it's really disappointing how many outlets just copied and pasted each other without actually asking a farmer if they thought this was going to be helpful to them. I'm hoping that people in my audience will, you know, politely nudge everybody who thinks this is a win and explain to them why it isn't. Write to the editors or to the journalists that published uncritical articles saying, here are some people I think you should talk to that may be able to give you a different perspective. I mean, it's really about our voice being louder than theirs. And that's one of the only things that I'm good at in life. I'm not very good at fixing a MacBook. Can't do an interview and drive, but what I can do is scream into a microphone, which is what I did 10 minutes before I got in my car. So we'll see if I win.
All right.
And my apologies for last Saturday. I'm sorry.
Understood. Thank you.
All right. Thanks much. Drive safely.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care.
If you missed our show on the Right to Repair movement, it's on the WBAI archives and links from our website, www.ecoradio.org. Now let's have a musical break.
The second song in our solar energy outro medley is Power by John Hall, whom some of you might know as the lead singer-songwriter of Orleans, or as a congressman from the Hudson Valley. This version was sung by the huge cast from a No Nukes concert. Power became a sort of anthem to the anti-nuclear movement of the 80s. John Hall wrote a sequel, I Told You So, as a response to the disaster at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant in Japan on March 11, 2011. I've always wanted to play those two songs back to back, and here they are.
Spirit of living. daughter, but you chose the stupidest one. To turn your back on the timeless wind, the water and the sun. Blinded by your science and the chance to make a buck, you wouldn't listen, chose nuclear fission.
That was two John Hall songs, Power and its sequel, I Told You So.
Giant French dairy company Danone has been sued by three environmental groups, Client Earth, Surf Rider Europe, and Zero Waste France, for not doing enough to reduce its plastic pollution. The groundbreaking French Duty of Vigilance Law, passed in 2017, requires companies to take effective measures to identify and prevent human rights violations and environmental damages throughout their chain of activity. Impetus for the law was the Rana Plaza disaster in Bangladesh in 2013, when the collapse of a clothing factory killed 1,100 people. High-end fashion labels were found in the rubble, prompting a global outcry. The law was the first of its kind in Europe. Since its passage, Germany and the Netherlands have passed similar laws, and the European Union is considering a similar directive.
Danone, which in 2021 used more than 750,000 tons of plastic, almost 75 times the weight of the Eiffel Tower, says that it reduced its plastic use 12% between 2018 and 2021 and has committed to using only reusable, recyclable, or compostable plastic by 2025. Environmental groups say that recycling alone will not be effective. Only 9% of the world's plastic has ever been recycled.
Though there is no such similar law in the United States, environmental groups have sued big plastic polluters, mostly through state-level consumer protection laws, alleging that their use of single-use plastic is in contradiction to their advertising statements about their commitment to recycling and the environment.
In September, the groups who are suing Danone issued formal notices to eight other food companies. And Klein Earth says it has received satisfactory responses from companies such as Carrefour and Nestle, but not from Danone. Since 2017, the number of climate change lawsuits has more than doubled globally. And increasingly, the targets are corporations rather than governments. How about one more song before we go live?
One of the first environmental songs many people ever heard was Marvin Gaye's 1971 song, Mercy, Mercy Me, the ecology song. It preceded the Clean Water Act by over a year. Marvin Gaye's Mercy, Mercy Me, the ecology song. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert.
There was a rare hawk spotted on Staten Island recently.
Ooh.
Swainson hawks from the West usually migrate to South America, but a young Swainson's hawk is eating rats on Front Street on Staten Island.
Wow. February 2nd is the next Indian Point Decommissioning Oversight Board meeting, and it should be interesting. On December 16th, the long-awaited risk assessment for Indian Point was released. Community members have been asking for this for years and will be sending comments during the 3 to 6 month public comment period. The extended time is in recognition of the technical nature of the report. We'll have more in upcoming shows as local advocates delve into the details.
A new comprehensive study provides still more scientific proof about melting glaciers, global warming, climate change, sea level rise, and lifestyle changes. When I first read Olivia Rosane's article a few days ago on EcoWatch.com about a new study about how fast glaciers are melting worldwide, I admit I shrugged it off as old news. After all, we've known about this for decades, but this new study is detailed and takes the United Nations 1.5 degree limit into account. Maybe that's why so many news outlets, mainstream news included, talked about the new study.
Glaciers are melting faster than most scientists predicted. That's worldwide, hundreds of glaciers. Many awful things are front and center about this.
for instance, sea level rise. This is more than just water on some streets at high tide, folks. This means many flooded streets at low tide and flooded homes at high tide. Glaciers are a source of drinking water for about a quarter of the world's population, 2 out of 8 billion. When glaciers melt too quickly, they go from providing drinking water to creating floods. And governments will decide who gets what little water is left, and that will lead to rebellions throughout the world. Then there are the effects on ocean currents, with water flowing to the oceans differently and land barriers being changed to different as well.
When Ecologic first did a show about climate models created by scientists to predict the effects of global warming and climate change, we talked about how the acceleration was always beyond the predictions of those making those models. Every year, even after modifying the models to take the new information into account, the effects of all the pollution in the atmosphere was worse than every single prediction. So this study may seem like old news, but it's not. It's new and should alarm every decision maker of every country that has mountains or ocean shore. It should. It ought to. It needs to.
YJ Zhang, a postdoctoral fellow in the UC Berkeley Department of Statistics, whose background is in geophysics, planetary science, and remote sensing, said, if the glacier has the potential to be disrupted in a short time and drain a lot of the ice into the ocean, perhaps within a year or two, that could be something we should worry about. Note that he said a year or two, not 2100 or 2050 or 2035.
One of the keys to the new studies is that meltwater flows to the bottom of a glacier and in effect lubricates the ground so the glacier flows faster. They call it basal lubrication. Again, we've known this for a long time. The exact effect of that lubrication is only now being measured. And like everything with studying the climate crisis, it's worse than most people have predicted or feared. When a glacier gets into the water, sea level goes up. You can see videos of rushing meltwater on the internet. Search for Moulin, M-O-U-L-I-N, M-O-U-L-I-N, and glacier.
More than ever, this study shows the immediate threat to the people of the world if every single policy change to mitigate the climate crisis is not implemented immediately. Instead, corporations and politicians the world over are going the opposite way. Even the new normal won't be normal.
When I'm in a coastal town on Long Island in New Jersey at high tide, I see small floods blocking part of one road or another. The residents tell me that's the way it is. It didn't used to be the way it was, but almost everyone accepts this new normal. And that's without a storm surge. As it gets worse and worse, at what point will people not accept the newest normal? At what point, if any, will they connect the floods in their yard with rebellions in Asia caused by lack of drinking water? If people are forced to choose between bathing water and drinking water, when will new diseases start to become new epidemics? At what point will people elect politicians who understand how important coastal forests and other coastal ecosystems are for protecting homes and drinking water from storm surges?
Questions to be seen. Today's report from Lewis Rossman shows how important it is to get news from the people directly affected. Too many mainstream media outlets simply pick up corporate press releases. Going to activists who have been in the fight for years, or in this case, the farmers themselves, gives an entirely different perspective. We ask the hard questions and kick the tires. We've given you information on how to be heard at public hearings, and we can continue to do that if you do your part by contributing to WBAI. Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. And we can't do it without you. This is the truth. We're about the truth. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. Call 212-209-2950.
Before we bring you more news and take your phone calls, a very important thing we and all producers need to do on each show is appeal to you to help keep this radio station on the air. We don't ask. It doesn't happen. For 63 years this month, this radio station has existed and continues only because of listener support. You know, Ecologic takes pride in empowering you, our audience, to you to participate in helping with actions you can do on the important issues we expose and present. Participation also helps with funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you're donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy.
We think you value the environmental news and views we bring you each week. You listen to environmental news because you care. Ecologic also cares about you and the air you breathe and the water you drink. Let's work together to keep this show and WBAI on the air. Now we need you to show us that you care. Yes, it is serious. And yes, you have heard it before. But yes, this is different. We are at a crossroads, and your participation makes a difference. Ecologic brings you actions you can take. Letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important. And the nitty-gritty of raising funds is also part of that equation. Please help us to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950.
You're interested in the welfare of the planet and its people and animals, the fauna and flora. You need Ecologic to bring you up-to-date information. Please make it possible for us to do that by supporting WBAI. Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone and make that call, or go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950. What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe and the water we drink. And even though you may not know much about farm equipment, what happens in the Midwest affects you too. Of course, all these issues affect our health and health care costs. Flooding in South America? Then where's your coffee? How is California going to supply your fruits and vegetables during droughts and wildfires?
The Pacific Network was the first listener-supported radio way back in 1949, created by pacifists after World War II. WBAI became part of that network 10.5 years later, and listeners like you have kept us going ever since.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. Were you there at the beginning of BAI? Probably not. Are you going to be there at the end? We hope not. But we are in a financially fragile state and really hope that you will step up and help keep us going. We need you to help WBAI and the Pacific Network Broadcasting. Call 212-209-2950.
Without a transmitter, you hear nothing. A transmitter to broadcast our signal is our most basic need. You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Join us as a member for just $25, as a BAI buddy for $10 or more a month, or just make a donation today to let us know that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show.
We thank you for everything you've done for our WBAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you. WBAI has so many important shows, and donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. And www.towerfund.wbai.org is still the best way to support that project. Help WBAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. Tower has a wide reach, but if our rent is not paid, that won't help us.
Our transmitter is at 4 Times Square, which is partially solar powered, and the solar panels were installed by someone who was a friend and past guest of Ecologic. That guest, Anthony Pereira, was part of a panel on our premium Solar in the City, which is part of a 3-DVD set available for a $90 donation.
Let's all be part of the solution. Please support WBAI's free speech community radio by becoming an Ecologic BAI buddy, or by pledging for premiums, or by making a single donation today. With $25 or more, you become a voting WBAI member.
We expose greenwashing wherever we can. There's so much that we cover that's unknown to the public, or so controversial that commercial radio won't touch it. Last week, we talked about the new right to repair bill in New York State, pointing out how the governor gutted it. Too many groups celebrated it as a win, when actually, she replaced a nearly unanimous bipartisan win with industry's misrepresentations. Where did you hear about that? right here on Ecologic and other WBAI shows. Nowhere else. And that is why we need your support. That is why you need to support Ecologic. That is why we all need to support WBAI. Please go to ecologic.wbai.org now.
Ecologic has been on WBAI for 20 years, so we've covered lots of environmental topics. And some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. For instance, Women and the Environment includes Rachel Carson, Helen Caldicott, and Judy Barry with Chi Yoke Ling speaking about fair trade versus free trade and the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, known as GATT, that was created in 1948 and was a precursor to the awful Trans-Pacific Partnership. And by the way, the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, and United for Clean Energy are bringing Dr. Helen Caldicott from Australia, virtually, to an online expert forum about health and safety impacts of the decommissioning of Indian Point at 4 p.m. on January 26th. You'll find details on our website, www.ecoradio.org. To hear more from Helen Caldicott and about Indian Point, check out our Nowhere to Run Helen Caldicott Indian Point package, two DVDs and one CD for a donation of $80 or more. It includes Helen Caldicott speaking on global warming, is nuclear power the answer, the Indian Point film Nowhere to Run DVD, and the Indian Point song sampler CD, beautiful songs. We have a selection of more than 25 items from which you can choose on the website ecologic.wbai.org. It's ecologic.wbai.org.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose for yourself from our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org. Figure your budget, your interest, and how much you appreciate WBAI and Ecologic. Can you find just $10 a month to be a sustaining WBAI buddy? Any donation to the to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly a win-win. We thank you.
We have a four CD set that includes five Ecologic episodes, Drinking Water, Bottled Water and the Plastic It Comes In, Demystifying the Electricity Grid, Health Effects of Indoor Plants plus 1 year after the BP oil spill, and Fracking. You can also become a sustaining member as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We look forward to your being an Ecologic buddy. Other offerings include the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater Sailing Up the Hudson and live music from a New York City Friends of Clearwater Water Festival. Our DVDs include Comparing Grassroots and National Organizing, which was a panel with four activists giving advantages and disadvantages of local versus national activism. That panel just had a magic to it. Donna was part of that panel.
Mostly, I connect to WBAI while driving. I hear discussions of really important topics and community conversation, which makes me realize how important our station is to the city and the whole region, how it reflects a variety of voices and issues, and how we cover stories ignored by mainstream media. We're listener-supported community radio, and that means that we have an ongoing need for financial support from you, our listeners. Our tower rent continues every month. We do our best to stretch our resources. We make do with less. But we do need the basics, and that is why we need your support. That is why you need to support Ecologic. That is why we all need to support WBAI. Please, show us how much you appreciate the type of programming by being a supporter. I guarantee you the appreciation will be mutual.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Now, we want to hear from you. Call in with your questions or comments at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. While we're waiting for your calls, one more news story.
We don't always have the airtime to cover every regional story, but occasionally there is one that we feel is important to cover. The Great Salt Lake is the largest saltwater lake in the entire Western Hemisphere, and it's going away. The UK Guardian reports that the situation is becoming ever more dire. University of Utah atmospheric scientist Kevin Perry, who's been researching the Great Salt Lake Dust, said, "The last nail in the coffin is where we're at."
Oof.
Dust from the lake threatens to bring year-round pollution to parts of Utah that already suffered dangerous air quality in the summer and winter due to wildfire smoke and vehicle emissions. The climate crisis has increased average temperatures in northern Utah and is further endangering the lake, fueling more severe droughts and heat waves. But studies suggest that only about 9% of the lake's decline from evaporation and reduced runoff can be blamed on climate change. A legacy of water overuse is the main threat. Ben Abbott, an ecologist at Brigham Young University, said that massive water diversions to irrigate vast alfalfa and hay crops are no longer sustainable in Utah, nor are lush lawns in cities and suburbs. The only option to avert full collapse of the lake's ecosystem is to save enough water fast enough.
Yeah, that area has grown by leaps and bounds, and the number of people and the stress on the water supply there is tremendous, really.
And again, you want to call in, the number here is 212-209-2877. 209-2877.
The Revolving Door Project newsletter recently included a story on a report by the Environmental Integrity Project, EIP, which analyzed the past 20 years of enforcement by EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. It's not a pretty story. Having lost more than one-fourth of its total enforcement staff since 2016, the EPA's results in 2022 compare miserably to those of the last 22 years. It concluded the lowest number of judicial cases, referred the lowest number of civil cases to the Justice Department, and opened the second lowest number of criminal cases since the year 2000. This is primarily due to Congress's refusal to reverse more than a decade of budget cuts or to confirm President Biden's nominee to head the EPA's Office of Enforcement and Compliance. Although the agency increased federal inspections significantly in 2022 compared to Biden's first year in office during Bush's 2005 to 2008 term, the annual average was more than 21,000. In the Biden years, that was almost half. I see we have a caller.
Yeah, we certainly do. 212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
Hi, good morning and happy new year. This is Anghing. Glad to hear your wonderful reporting, even though it's sad to hear about the glacial, what is it, the Mulin.
Yes. M-O-U-L-I-N. They're fascinating to look at on YouTube. It's a scary effect, but interesting.
Yeah, you see this giant rushing water going into a hole in the glacier and underneath to send it off into the sea. It's terrible.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, Angel?
Yeah, I wanted to touch upon the reports of cooking with gas and impact on asthma, when in fact a lot of it could be the boilers in our multifamily homes, more so than the gas stove in our homes. So I just thought, that's something that you could touch upon, down the way in terms of asthma and cooking with gas and how that's, being politicized. And not that it doesn't have a negative impact, but the idea that it could be other sources as well in terms of transportation rather than more so, having traffic nearby than my gas stove. So I just wanted to put that out there. And thanks again, and I'll listen off the air.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Angel. Thank you for that opening. I'm going crazy listening to them talk about how wonderful gas stoves are, or rather how wonderful electric stoves are compared to gas stoves, without thinking about where the electricity comes from. That's a really important consideration. You have to think about, where is that electricity to replace a gas stove coming from? Why, and it's coming from gas.
It's gas somewhere else, right?
Yeah, you're moving the pollution from one area to another, and you're tripling, quadrupling,
five times the amount of pollution. Because when a power plant burns gas to make electricity, most of the power that they make goes to waste heat. It doesn't go to electricity. It's not like this instant magic formula. There's waste heat involved. And two-thirds of the BTUs of the fuel ends up being waste heat. And then the third that's left gets transported miles and miles and miles to get to whatever electric stove it's powering. And and as it travels all those miles and it gets stepped up and stepped down in voltage, you lose more power. So you end up with the experts I've talked to and listened to at forums talk about, oh, you get one-fifth of the power. You get one-sixth of the power. You get a minuscule amount. You're better off putting that gas directly into a stove or a car. As long as the grid is made out of gas and nuclear and coal.
Yeah, once we add a renewable grid, then things will change. But if you think about the amount of gas used by a gas stove, especially as we now almost all of us have ones with electronic ignitions, so you're not running a pilot light all the time, which certainly is not a good thing. Compare that to the amount of pollution from the diesel trucks going by, from the diesel cars and everything else. It's small. It's a political rallying point for some reason, but it's really not logical.
Well, it's helping the utility companies because they get to sell more electricity. It's helping the fossil fuel companies because they get to sell more gas.
And it's helping the oven manufacturers because they get to replace everybody's ovens.
Yeah, that too. The tunnel vision involved, I don't understand at all. But we have two more callers. My goodness.
Excellent.
Yeah, you guys are up at 6 in the morning. The number is 212-209-2877. You are on the air.
Okay, good morning.
Morning.
Good on you guys taking live calls. That needs to happen like the old days.
Thank you. Well, it's fun.
Yeah, well, that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. The producers on BAI sell a commodity, and that is to get reaction and participation from the audience. Otherwise, what are you doing? Okay, so, I see this all tying in the rich elites and the enterprises and the corporations who are run by rich people or wealthy people.
Yeah.
They're trying to mitigate. You know, they went as far as they could go. Now, you know, they kind of people see in a bigger way what's behind the curtain. And mm-hmm. so they're trying to mitigate. But the thing is, I think it's going to encroach on the people who are lower on the pyramid, like he usually does.
Right.
And but what I wanted to get into a question, so a sort of comment going into a question. I do agree that the natural gas has gotten even more toxic because of the toxic things that they're doing to extract it.
Sure.
So if you breathe that in, I think the effects of breathing that in outweigh the electrical stove. We should be, in my opinion, we should be past solar and wind by now. But we haven't. We never really got started. And I don't know if that's I wish that this free energy and magnetic energy would come to the fore and cold fusion, because that's where we really should be. Something like that.
Cold fusion is a centralized form of electricity to keep the nuclear industry going. There is an awful lot of nuclear waste. No.
I mean something in that realm. You know what I mean? Where it's quote-unquote free energy, where it causes the least amount of toxins from history.
Number one is use less in the first place. And I'm not saying doing without. All right, I still remember. I was just a kid, but I remember Reagan going that conservation means freezing in the dark. That's bull.
So wrong.
And because if you're more efficient, you have more money in your pocket. You have less air pollution, less water pollution, and therefore you're healthier. And it's just being efficient, not doing without, but being efficient. And people are doing that. The
insulate the buildings.
Oh,
right.
The people of New York have saved thousands of megawatts of electricity. Thousands. All right. We're talking the equivalent of about 8-9 nuclear plants in the last 15 years.
Here's my question.
Hold on. Let me finish. Okay. Energy Star appliances are one way of reducing your electric bill. LED light bulbs is a way. Low flow shower heads is another way, especially if you're a homeowner. Insulating walls means your air conditioner doesn't leave your home in the summer. Your heat doesn't leave your home in the winter. There's so many ways that you can be more efficient in your use of electricity. And a passive home, look up passive house technology on YouTube or the internet, passive house. You can use one-tenth the energy of a home without doing without anything.
Okay.
I mean, that's how
wasteful we are now. Well, let me say something about LED lights, but I had a question about land use. Okay. The LED lights, what's come out is that, you know, it really messes with your circadian rhythms, which cause problems in the body. So people need to mitigate the use of it after 6-7 p.m. at night. Not enough time for me to share what I just learned, but that's a problem, all this LED stuff with the blue light at night. You need it in the daytime, unfortunately, but not at night. And it really messes you up. It could lead to diseases.
Light-emitting diodes are not blue light. One of the problems with inventing them in the first place is light-emitting diodes, that's what LED stands for.
All right. Are you finding?
They give off. Hold on. Yeah. LEDs give off a colored light, and it took a while for the manufacturer to figure out how to combine that light, like a prism does, to make white light. So that is why LED lights are white, and that's why they didn't get invented right away.
Okay.
So the whole blue light thing is somebody is trying to stop LEDs because
so you recommend
they want more electricity.
What? Diodes?
LED stands for light emitting diode.
LEDs
were Christmas lights because they're already colored.
Out around the country with all this environmental stuff, and some of it is going in its own linear way to degenerating, like, say, the water supply out west. I mean, by now you would think in the Colorado and the tri-state, five-state area there, they would be doing desalination and coming up with the plan, but it looks like they're not. So my question is, I think they want to limit land use and get people consolidated more in and around large cities. So they want to get, like say something like the cities in the middle of Arizona, they want those closed down because of...
Well, this is a big topic.
Are you seeing that land use is being this thing to get people out of places? They're using environmental problems to do that.
This is a big topic, and unfortunately, it's 6:52, almost 6:53, and it's time to wrap up. Yes, but land use, let's talk about that in the near future, for sure.
Yes, and let's talk about centralization in the near future, too.
Yes.
That's what desalination is.
Yes.
Okay. Delaware's,
keep an ear on us. We will pick up on this call in the future.
Oh, my goodness.
But right now, thank you for joining us this morning. We're glad to have you with us.
For keeping track of the time, because I lost track of it.
Yep. Anyway, for more information, you can always go to our website, ecoradio.org.
We'd love to stay in touch with you. Those of you online, go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. We'll let you know every week what's coming up. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
We've been hearing the word existential a lot lately regarding climate change. It means derived from experience or the experience of existence. In other words, stuff we know is true because we've experienced it. We've seen it happen. Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, so go to www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org. Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums, Most can be found on both ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see Ecologic BAI buddy pledges. Most of the BAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially. And our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, January 21st, when we speak to Joe Adamante about forest protection.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and Off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Bob Law with what I think is an important announcement going into the new year. Starting with the first Saturday, January 7th, I will be on the air for an additional hour, now from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A little more time, a lot more ideas and information. So join me on Saturday morning from now on for 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here at 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
Mother, this radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
Hi, this is Julian Joiello, and I'm a listener and supporter of WBAI.
I'm a student at NYU and I live in New York City. And I want to shout out to the other young listeners of WBAI. We have to help keep the station going. And the easiest way to do it is through the WBAI Buddy System. If you donate as little as $10 a month, you have proactively promoted free speech radio. Go to the website WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
Hey, this is Shaka Khan, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Whoa, whoa, whoa.